May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Today's gospel always sounds to me like one of those stories that you tell when you're sitting around with family and friends. You know the ones that begin, "Do you remember the time?" I can just imagine Mary and Joseph maybe at a wedding, maybe at a gathering with friends and relatives saying, "Do you remember the time Jesus got left behind in Jerusalem? We couldn't believe it. I told him that morning, we're getting ready to leave. Make sure you stay with the group." So we get a whole day down the road, we lay out supper, and we go looking for him, and he's nowhere to be found. 3 days later, we find him sitting in the temple, chit-chatting with the teachers. Do you remember that? If you have teenagers, this probably doesn't seem as far-fetched as it does if you have toddlers. I have teenagers, and I know that even when I say, "Make sure you do this," then it will not surprise me if 6 hours later they look at me blankly and go, "Well, when did you tell me that?" Because teenagers, that 12, 13, 14-year-old, are starting to become their own people. They are starting to claim for themselves a sense of who they are and what they can do. And so they tend to be incredibly independent and frequently annoying to their parents, who would really like them to do what they're told. The wonderful piece of that, though, is watching these young children that start out completely dependent on us growing into the people God meant them to be. And I think of Mary, despite her willingness and probably how ready she was to strangle Jesus that day, looking at him and going, "Oh, I should have known." Because in Luke's gospel, we have over and over again this reminder that Mary has seen all these amazing things. An angel forecasting Jesus' birth, shepherds who saw a whole bunch of angels, and we are told that Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She obviously, at 12, didn't expect Jesus to go off larking to the temple and make himself at home among the important people there. But it probably shouldn't have surprised her. I suspect when Jesus said, "Well, where did you think I was going to be?" Part of her went, "Yeah, I should have seen that one coming." I also wonder if Jesus didn't feel just a little bit disappointed in his parents. Because Jesus has taken this moment and this time to start acting on the person that he is coming to know himself to be. And the story in our gospel today tells us that he's just like most of us and all of our teenagers, in that that exploration involves stepping out and trying things and being in places that are new and exciting, means claiming who he is. And I'm sure Jesus expected his parents to know that. Expected his parents to see that heart of who he was, the Son of God. Expected them to treat him that way because he already knew that was who he was. And he was just exploring what that meant. I also think that this is one of the great gifts of being Christian, is realizing that we share that identity as well. Sometimes we discover it when we're teenagers. Sometimes we discover it much later. But at some point in our lives, the great gift of being Christian is discovering, as St. Paul says, that God has destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will. Of discovering that amidst all our other identities, and all the ones we may have discovered when we were young, or may still be discovering as we get older, that there is this wonderful identity as children of God. And just as Jesus discovers who he is and finds his way to the temple and discovers the wonder and joy of being in his Father's house, we too are invited to discover our identities as children of God, as rooted in God, that who we are is who God calls us to be. If you were a teenager and you got left behind at church, yeah, that didn't happen to any of us, right? But if you discovered as a teenager, maybe over time that's faded for you. Over time, other identities have crowded in. You've also become a parent, an adult child of aging parents. You have a profession. You have friends. You have school friends. You have histories and past. You have all of these identities. And maybe sometimes those identities have crowded out that sense of identity as a child of God. Maybe it often seems like you are so busy doing those other things, being those other people, that they have become your primary sense of who you are. And sometimes that's good, and sometimes it's not good, because sometimes that sense of identity is not a positive one. Sometimes we also take on identities as people who have failed to live up to our own hopes and expectations. Sometimes we take on identities as people who are no longer the people we used to be. But all of those identities are not as important as the one that Jesus shows us that day in the temple. None of them are as important as that claiming of Son of God, which we claim through Jesus' relationship with God. Because he knew that day that he had a right to sit with the teachers, that he could listen and learn, that God was present to him in a unique way. God is also present to us in that way. And our identities, too, are rooted in God. And the first thing we should know about ourselves, the first thing that we should present to one another, is that we are beloved children of God, that we are loved by God, that we belong in our Father's house and about our Father's business, because all those other identities come from that one. And it should shape all those other identities. It should make us a different kind of parent, a different kind of son or daughter, a different kind of co-worker, a different kind of friend. It should make us loving, generous, hospitable, caring. It should inspire in us the kinds of behaviors we see in Jesus. Caring for the poor, welcoming for those who no one welcomes. Generous with whatever we have. Trusting in God to fill in all the pieces that we can't see right now, that don't seem quite to fit. This wonderful glimpse of Jesus just coming into that first and most important sense of who he is also our model for growing and learning as children of God. It tells us that no matter what else we need to know and learn, that first identity as beloved children is the most important one. That it's always ours. That even if it means leaving behind some of our other identities, that we can always find ourselves in God. We can always find ourselves in God's love for us. Other things come and go, and we will sometimes have to go out and be obedient to our parents and helpful to our teenage children and all the other pieces of our lives. But we can always come home, always come back to that place where we know ourselves to be beloved children of God. Because thanks to Jesus, there is nothing, nothing at all that can separate us from the love of God. And because Jesus knew who he was and lived that out fully and completely, so can we. Amen.